I would say I couldn't have done it without you. I probably could have, but not very well. And so, I mean, she knows I'm eternally grateful. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, my husband's grateful. I mean, we all are where we are because we took the class. Mm-hmm. And it's really just about how we communicate. I remember you saying, it's really about changing our behaviors. Mm-hmm. The class is called Redirecting Children's Behavior. But that's not really what it is. Mm-hmm. It's redirecting parents' behavior. But if you called it that, no one would sign up for that because it's my kids. It's not
right. Yeah.
Me.
Exactly. Yep.
But you have to come in with it. You know, with the ability to say, I don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, then you're open for those to come in.
Welcome to the Parented Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gams. Join me as we explore the hardest job that you will ever love, parenting your child. If you can take a moment to rate or review this podcast, that is life to our team that works so hard to put together these episodes for you. Thanks for considering.
Okay, so hi, Brooke.
Hi, Michelle.
Okay, why don't we start with just a little bit of what your home is like? Who's in your home? Tell us about you.
Well, there's me, mm-hmm. and my cute husband.
Yes, and he is.
And my four mm-hmm. darling, sometimes, kids.
Okay.
And my two dogs.
Okay, got it. Okay. And I just have to start, I'm going to start with, I'm really honored that you're here. I am. And because everybody needs to know Brooke's special. Let's talk about like your journey with this material with me. And I'll start with my journey with you mm-hmm. because what I remember too. Mm-hmm. So we've been together a long, long time. Mm-hmm. How long? Well, how old's Charlie?
13. So we've been together for at least 14 years.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we have. So Brooke, came to the parenting class that I teach, the 5-week class, with her husband, drug there.
No. After we came to your seminar at preschool.
Oh.
And he was intrigued.
Okay, see, I don't even know this part.
Uh-huh. You had flyers.
Okay.
And we signed up for the class right after.
Wow.
Because we thought, boy, and I believe the flyer said, do you want to use timeouts less at home?
Wow.
And we had three little kids, and we had a lot of timeouts happening.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do remember mm-hmm. you coming, though. And I remember you very pregnant at mm-hmm. the time, mm-hmm. in the middle of a large house renovation, mm-hmm. living in a temporary situation, a small closed quarters, mm-hmm. with three small kids, going through this, pregnant, and wanting to learn about how to parent these kids better,
mm-hmm.
which was quite impressive at the time. Like that this is what you've got all that going on, and here you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. like I was like, okay. And then I remember that really you were there quite reluctantly, even though you may say you weren't, like, because often one of the parties is drug there. Usually.
I was probably the most reluctant.
Yeah, yeah. Usually one is more, you know, encouraged, like, let's do this. And the other one's like, okay, you know, mm-hmm. but not thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that piece for you and thinking after we go through the 5 weeks and, you know, her husband is lovely. He is lovely. We love him.
And always.
An amazing
inside and out.
Dad.
Inside and out.
He yeah. is inside mm-hmm. and out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we go through this class and the material, the 5 weeks, and it's kind of intense, and you guys had a lot of opportunities to apply it with three small kids, mm-hmm. one set of twins in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, I will never see her again.
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. And I, you know, because sometimes I know there are people that I know taking that we get exposed to, we connect. And I know we're going to be in long-term relationships. Like, I just know that about, there's just, you just, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And And I never thought that about you at all. Mm-hmm. That's like, that's what this, that's why you're special, like the sleeper part of this relationship, you know, because we've been together for 14 years.
Well, more specifically, I think I can tell you when you probably thought, this girl's not getting it.
What?
Is the class, and I'm trying to remember, we were talking about kind of good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, boy, good enough, boy, that transcends. And trying not to make kids feel like their efforts aren't good enough.
Right.
Because an effort for kids is sometimes more important than the product.
Right. Perfection or the outcome. Perfection.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we were talking about making beds.
Okay. Tell us about it.
And where you were using the example of if they make their bed and they try to make their bed, then that should be good enough. And I was raised, I needed square corners and my bed needed to look good. And that was a reflection of who we were.
Mm.
That kind of covered up maybe some of the other messiness that existed in my house.
Mm-hmm. It's a form of control. Usually, yeah. Like, you know how if we feel out of control, often many of us clean our houses. Like, okay, this is something I can do to make myself feel.
So we talked about our kids making their beds, and I was like, they can try, but I'm going to go in and redo it.
I remember this.
Uh-huh. And I said, because I can't stand, like, that's just wrong.
Right.
And they're not doing it right. And you just looked at me and you said, that's one way you could do it. And the whole gist of it was, what was the message that you were sending?
Wow.
And I always go back to, God, the bed.
Uh-huh. You had me at the bed.
Uh-huh.
Right, because I do remember this now.
I still didn't buy into it.
No,
I understood what you were saying, but I didn't buy it yet.
Right. You're resistant and reluctant. Like, no way. I'm still making the beds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, adamantly.
Mm-hmm. And I did for a while.
And then what?
Well, sometimes God or life has a funny way of, like, saying you can't do that anymore. Like, you know, so a fourth kid comes on the scene and you just can't make all the beds perfectly all the time. And so, you know, then it became, but I don't know. It probably wasn't until we realized when the fourth kid came around, we felt like we were drowning. And we were still in our temporary housing for a short time. And Brian was commuting, an hour and a half each way to work. And it was just a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember him looking at me and saying, I wonder if that Michelle lady, you were the Michelle lady, sees people one-on-one. Mm. And I ran into you in the parking lot at school.
Mm-hmm.
I got on the phone with him and I said, it was a sign. And I asked you, I said, do you ever see people one-on-one? And you said, oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we came with kind of our laundry list of what do we do?
Right. Right.
And that's where
it began.
That's where we connected. Reconnect.
Yeah, that's where you relented maybe. Like
I did.
Yeah.
I can't do it. So tell me how to do this.
Which is, there's a beautiful piece. I mean, because many of us, Brooke, I would say I'm included, were tapped out at 2. You got tapped out at 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like of, okay, I surrender here with this, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so then yes, meeting one-on-one, and these kids are now like, they're 16,
16, 15, 13.
Uh-huh. And you, I'll just tell people, you don't look like you have 4 teenagers. Like you look lovely, lovely. Not haggard, not, you know.
I showered today.
Yeah. I mean, because I can say with teenagers that I was on my knees with teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And we can sort of check in maybe with that about how that's going.
Mm-hmm.
But on a bigger scale, like how this sort of philosophy has impacted your family Because you are the longest case study, I think, that I would know, like, intimately. This intimately, as I do. And even your marriage, because I can vouch for her lovely husband that the various times that we have met, he's been here quite a bit as part of it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. 75% of the time.
At least, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and well, just on that note, and if he's not here, we always talk about what we're going to talk about, and mm-hmm. then he's always the first call I make when I leave.
Mm-hmm.
To recap.
Right, so, to recap. Oh, speaking of recap, Brooke, could you tell us about the binder that you have?
Well, so that goes into, so I swear by this. And it's fun. My kids are actually playing it back to me on a regular basis, subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
But at our 15-year wedding anniversary, so this coming year we'll have been married 23 years, and I gave Brian 15 gifts that represented different aspects of our life together. And one of them was my binder that had all of our notes and different handouts and things, but from our individual sessions. And the front of the binder has these, they're kind of wearing off. I probably need to redo it, but these little sticky letters that say WWMD. That dates back to way back when people wore those mm-hmm. rubber bracelets that said, you know, what would Jesus do? So mm-hmm. really what we say is, what would Michelle do? Because a lot of times we would come into a situation and we had enough knowledge to pause,
mm-hmm.
which I remember you used to give us those pause stickers or
mm-hmm. pause button.
The pause button.
Like that you have a pause button on your forehead, whether you realize it or not.
Right.
To use it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we would look at each other or look at the kids and say, mm-hmm. I don't know what to say mm-hmm. or how I want to deal with that. I might have to talk to Michelle and get back with you. And the kids were kind of afraid of you for a while, at least one of them for sure.
Yeah.
But boy, she's the one that she gives me a Michelle all the time.
Hey friends, if you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, we'd love to have you join us. I'm here to provide support for you parents in any way that I can. If you would like more information about how to be a guest, check out our show notes for this episode.
So we go two ways here. You're right. Your kids began to fear me because I had never met them mm-hmm. until one day, because I might have told you. So I became somewhat villainized in Brooke and Brian's home a little bit because it was, just wait, we're going to go see Michelle.
And then we'll get back to you.
We're going to get back to you on that. So, which I encourage parents to do, like make other people the authorities, not you, because you're the authority enough. So if you can say to the target person, come talk to my kid about staying in their cart, come, you know, somebody working in a restaurant, come talk to my kid about sitting in the booth, do it. Like, you know, talk to my kid about brushing their teeth, the dentist, like make other people the authorities. So make me the bad guy. You know, hey, Michelle said we have to do this, or it's for your own good. Michelle
says another way to look at it. Yeah. Is that you? They always see you as the competent giant, right?
Yes.
Which you talk about in class.
Yeah.
And sometimes by admitting that you don't know what to do and you've got to go somewhere else, that's a lesson in and of itself.
So, it certainly anyway. Is. No, it but, is. It yeah. is.
But they feared you.
Yes, they did. They did
fear me. And they feared you.
Right. And
we
they feared
you. We don't use the word but.
That's right. See what a good student she is? She's like, she lives it and breathes it.
Mm-hmm.
So I encountered the twins. I think they might have at this point been, I don't know, 8 or 9. I don't remember when this happened.
Maybe
younger.
Maybe.
Probably younger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, probably younger. And I remember it was in school in the hallway, mm-hmm. and somehow they figured out, though, this is Michelle.
I think I saw you ran into me, and then I was like, this is Michelle.
This is Michelle. And they go running down the hall. And I ran after them, like playfully, just kind of running after them, like trying to tickle them and just like, hey, girl, you know, and it was just funny, the whole reaction, because they were terrified, like, of this is her, you know, like, what's she going to do? And it was just sweet to meet them and playful. It was kind of playful. And I know they were playful. They weren't really scared of me. That it was just fun, because your kids are.
And they're grateful. They're taking an AP psych course, and they're learning a lot about brain development. And Maggie comes home and says, you know, you guys really parent the right way. And so kind of the way she, you know, but she gets it, and she gets what went into it, and they're grateful.
How lucky you are, like, that your 16-year-olds get that, because some people are waiting a long time for that, if it ever comes. But it's true. It's true. You and Brian are rock star parents. And I've said that
except when we're not. It's just another from the class, right? And that's, and I always say it's accept, E-X-C-E-P-T, and right. A-C-C-E-P-T.
Oh, yeah.
So accept when we're not, and accept when you're not.
I hadn't gotten to the A-C-C one. Mm-hmm. I've only
I never knew which one you were talking about, but I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people that I was such a bad mom, and I'm, yeah, you can repair that. And you're a good mom, except when you're not.
Exactly. It's interesting. It's funny coming from you, who wanted perfection. You know, it's like that with the beds, but being really accepting of except when you're not. Like, we made the beds, and that's good enough.
Now, every once in a while, if we're having something that we...
Of course.
I do ask someone to go help with the top bunk. Like, can we really fix the top bunk making?
Right, right.
It is a tough bed to make.
Which is... Okay, so I have tears in my eyes from that and chills just from what you said about the girls. Like, that...
Our dinner conversation last night was... and we've had this multiple times, but I can't remember why. But... talking about our love languages. And some are easier to figure out than others. So sometimes the harder ones to love are the easier ones to figure out. You know, sometimes when it's easy to love someone, you kind of just love them in multiple ways. And the challenging ones. It's kind like of, what it's glaring. Well, you know, once I figured that out, you really give yourself differently to them, each of them. But I talk about it, like, so that it doesn't, like gifts, and we always have, not gifts, like diamond rings, but I remember, you know, I noticed you were out of shampoo in your bathroom, and I, you know, like, you see them fill up with boy, or... oh, when I was at the grocery, I knew you liked this food, and you know, that's what's in the refrigerator. And so, but just talking about that, you just have to love them differently. The same, but you show it differently, I guess.
It's demonstrated differently. Yeah, the Five Love Language book, and we talked about that in session two, that it helps if you can identify the love languages of each person in your family, not just the children, but your partners, that it's like a bullseye. You love efficiently, and you're loving them uniquely, not equally. It never will be equal. It's just, it's not, if you do one for one, you don't need to do one for the other, because that doesn't resonate in the same way as it does for that one. And so I like to say it's efficient. It's a very efficient way to love, because it's knowing that, you know, one of your kids really cares about that certain shampoo, and the other one could give a rip. It doesn't matter, you know, but that what they really want is for you to... spend time with them, like, while they're working on their homework, like, just sit next to me, or want to be near you while you're cooking, or whatever. You know, it's like they want quality time, which is different. So five love languages: gifts, as she said, not necessarily big.
Touch.
Touch, physical touch. which many kids are. Some really.
I have two that are not.
Yep. Yep.
And one that I would have told you used to be, but mm-hmm. he's not a toucher.
Mm-hmm. And that can be cultural too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a heartbreaking thing mm-hmm. too, with especially boys.
Mm-hmm.
Acts of service, do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
Quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And words
of affirmation.
Yours, words of affirmation. Tell me I'm doing a good job, which mm-hmm. you are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember you telling you too, Brooke, that because I always tell parents when you come in here, or we consult or whatever, bring your top two most stressful, problematic things. Like bring your short grocery list of what's causing the most stress or strife, and then from after you feel relief from that, we move down to kind of the middle band of okay, these aren't okay, but we only have limited resources, limited time, energy. Like capacity to do all this. So we start with the most stressful and we move down. And I remember telling you specifically, like more than once. Do you remember what I would say?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that Brooke, you know, we're just tweaking.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're just tweaking here, honey. Like this is, you are stellar parents and we're just down here at the bottom.
Like, we used to have a list, like a long list.
Uh huh.
And it's in the book. Like, where we would write down, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And now, you know, it's just the biggies. Like, that one threw me for a loop. What do I do?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been at it so long with so many personalities, through so many ages. It's part of you. And now you're saying and through those ages too, you were getting it played back to you. Like, can you tell us about that? Because that's when you really know it's becoming embedded in your family structure mm-hmm. when you start hearing your kids saying or using the same language that you have been using with them.
Mm-hmm. The biggest example, or the easiest example, this one comes out a lot, and I wish I could tell you exactly, but I'll come roundabout. But one of the things that we talk about is and this is more of a communication thing that we've talked about with lots of people, with your husband, with your extended family, your siblings, your...
Which, by all this applies to that, it's just
a communication technique. Brian uses it at work.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it's sometimes about human relationship. When people are triggering emotions in you, we tend to want to, like, engage mm-hmm. and when we engage, we open it up for it to land on ourselves, and mm-hmm. You feel more tense, you feel more stressed out. And so you've taught me to just repeat what they're saying,
because
mm-hmm. most often people just want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of engaging, mm-hmm. which I'm not very good at, but I really try, but I struggle with this one. That, you know, you say, it sounds like, you know, that was really important to you. And so I remember the day, I think I might have emailed you, and Maggie, I was boasting about something I did. And so instead of kind of either feeling like someone else might have heard it and said, oh, you know, I don't know, like you're bragging, or mm-hmm. I don't, you know, just, or that's not that big of a deal, or, you know, whatever. Maggie says, it sounds like you're really proud of yourself.
I am.
And that's all I am. And so, you know, I thought, I guess my work is done.
Yes.
Not really, but I mean, yeah, I mean, she gets it.
Right.
And so, we do a lot of sounds like at our house, and we mm-hmm. giggle about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian used to do it to me, and I would say, don't Michelle me. And so he said he'd have to come back and meet with you on his own to get some new material.
So. Oh, I love this family. It's been a long road.
It's been a long road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now
it's
you're
not
getting...
over.
No. Oh, no, but you got this. You got this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you got a partnership, too,
uh-huh.
that really helps it. Yeah, so the sounds like, I remember that, Maggie getting in, you're like, wow, now it's coming back at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When they start repeating, you know, like, I know I've heard it from other parents too, when I always say you need the word willing in your language. I'm willing to do that. I'm not willing to do that. And then when you hear your kids say, I'm not willing to do that, or I'm willing to do that, it's kind of this moment of, like you said, okay, like frustration on one level, but then also, okay, they're getting it. They're getting it.
And look, along with that willing, it's kind of like when they're little, like giving them choices, but not in a permissive way, but, you know, you're going to go to bed. Do you want to walk on your own to bed, or do you want me to carry you?
Yes.
Like this is when they were, you know, little, you know, that's your choice. Going to bed isn't the choice, but let's give you a choice about how we're going to get there.
Right.
And so I remember that, but you know, then they start, it just starts making sense. And when they're bigger, you know, it's the same kind of thing, you know? Yeah, I don't even, I'm trying to even think of an example. I'm blanking, but it works, you know? So people like to have choices. No one likes to feel backed into a corner.
Right, exactly. It meets the need of power. We all need to have power. Yeah. Well, I think about maybe even your kids not wanting to go to practice. Like, you're going to practice. Do you want to take this or this? Do you want to walk or be driven? Do you want, you know, like, I remember things like that. Like, that there's, it's still, yeah, that you don't get a choice over if this is happening. You do have to, you know, eat your dinner. You do have to take a bath. You do have to get in the car. You do have to do your homework. But the options, the choice lies in the how it's done, where it's done, when it's done, with whom it's done, not if it's done. And that's hard for us parents to come up with sometimes.
I remember your example of, do you want to wear shoes to school or not?
Right.
Do you want to go barefoot?
Right. Yep. Like, you want to take those in the car or you want to put those on? Because you're going, we're going. Yeah. Yep. And sometimes it's hard, Brooke, for parents to get out of the box to do that, because often they think choice is often a threat, which is, you can eat your dinner or go to your room. Okay. That's a punishment. That's not a choice. You know, like you said, these are two options. Like, these are both neutral options. Do you want to do your homework in this room or this room? Do you want a snack before you do your homework, or do you just want to do your homework? Like, do you want me to review your homework, or do you want to, you know, to have dad do that? Like, that there's choice in it.
And I guess punishment we learned, I mean, sometimes there's a need, but I guess you can almost always call a punishment a consequence. And there's the natural consequences. You know, if you run out in the road, you're going to get hit by a car. So you probably try to keep them from experiencing those. But natural consequences are always better than, you know, but there's always, there's consequences.
Yes.
So, you know, in today's world. So you didn't come home on time. So you're going to not, next time you want to go out, we're not going to go. You know, and that's just, so it's not really a punishment. It is. But it's really a consequence for the action.
Right.
Which, and we make, and we have, they need to be for ours.
Yes.
And I always, I,
come on, we can do it.
Related.
Related, which you just did.
Yeah.
You just related it.
Reasonable.
Reasonable, not
you
forever.
You can't be grounded forever.
Right. Or I'm not throwing away all your toys. Or I'm not, I'm never taking you back here again. Not reasonable.
Right. Respectful.
Respectful.
I'm not going to make you sit in the corner with your nose in the corner.
Yep.
Or do something, I don't know.
Right.
And
or no dinner or whatever.
Right.
Teach responsibility.
Teach responsibility.
Yeah. Which is the part about, you said, making them, leaving them accountable for it. That's what happens when you do a consequence that includes those four. It leaves them accountable for their choice. Instead of what happens with punishment is just they're freaking mad at you. I'm really mad at you. And it's arbitrary and it's randomly assigned, which is, I'm taking your phone away because you were late coming home. Not related, not teaching them anything. And then I just hate you.
But I've become an expert in making almost anything related.
Yes. And that's all you have to do, Brooke,
that's a
is
skill.
Just get it related. Tell us, like, how,
well,
you, because,
well,
if you can,
oh,
relate
the
it.
Well, the phone, I can make the phone related to anything.
Okay.
So, my gosh. you didn't, you know, come home on time.
Yep.
Therefore, you didn't show me that you, you know, can, you know, manage just basic tasks. Therefore, I'm not going to give you this device that is worth a lot of money and blah, blah, you know, I don't know. Or, I don't, I mean, I feel like.
Or you forgot to use it.
Yeah. Therefore, I'm going to take it because you're really not using it appropriately. Right. I mean, yeah, you can relate almost anything.
Yeah, that's all you have to do is to make it make sense over here as the child. That is this fit? This is related somehow to whatever you've just doled out to me is the consequence. Then I feel the problem remains on my shoulders, and I feel more accountable and responsible for what just happened. And it's more like, oh, I did this to myself, instead of, oh, I hate you. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. And they're in.
And I'm not going to say they don't hate me sometimes.
Oh, of course. I think they do. Well, yeah, they're. You're the mom.
Right.
They're supposed to resist us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even, I mean, if we talk about boundaries, Brooke, kids are starving for boundaries and they hate them. Mm-hmm. Both. So, yeah.
And yeah, they want them.
Right. They want them because it makes them feel safe and loved. And you're strong enough to stand up to me and tell me no, or have me have consequences for coming home late, even though I freaking hate them, I respect you for it. So they're going to resist and do what they do, and they're supposed to, just like we are humans. Like, I can respect, but I don't have to like it.
One of the girls said to me the other night, that was another moment where, you're right. She said, I do save the worst for you, and I give you the worst of my feelings and behavior. And I said, and that's okay. And I said, because I will always love you. And I said, so it's safe for you to be that way sometimes. And so,
see why she's a rock star? I mean, really, how many of our parents ever said that to us, Brooke?
No.
Yeah.
And so that same child was probably harder to parent when she was younger. And in some ways still, but in some ways not, because she's very insightful. But I didn't get her for a long time. And when I stopped trying to get her and just accepted her, it became easier. And I remember you saying to me one time, in some of the challenging times, that you said, and it resonated with me, that she was lucky to have, I can't remember how you said it, but
she's lucky to have you as a mom.
Or just us, that for us to love her, because sometimes she wasn't as easy to love, and some people might not have been as tolerant or patient.
That's true. That, as you know, that some kids are, you love them. I mean, we love our kids. Everybody, you love your kids, but you don't like them sometimes. And they're hard to get, because you don't, it's the roll of the dice what you get. You get what you get. And some require more from us as parents to parent them. And that's what I say. It's my game has to be upped or increased because one of my children was harder to parent. That's not about her. That's about me needing to get more skill or develop myself in ways, because some kids are easier to parent. It's just the flat out truth.
And at different stages.
That's right.
So they all like to talk about who was the easiest baby, and you know,
right?
You know, clearly it was this one, and then, but this one's a little bit more difficult in the teenage years.
That's right.
And so, so they're not,
at different.
I would say my experience is that one is not always harder throughout all the stages.
Right.
That it changes.
It does.
As they change.
Yep.
And I try to stay steady. which is an, so that goes back to the partner thing. And I remember this in the class that we took. So Brian and I did it together. And the class, there was another couple, and I don't know them, and I have no idea what their names were, but they were going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And they had young kids, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite as young as ours, but pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fascinated that they could sit there on the sofa, it was in your old office,
mm-hmm.
And that they were willing to try and do this together. So I'm always an advocate, because inevitably, it's kind of like getting your kid to sleep at night, the babies. Like, you want to be weak. Okay, I'll just go pick them up. And you need the strong person who's not quite as tired to be like, okay, no, we're going to let them cry.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true in the parenting.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, they're crying out, but you got to be strong, and mm-hmm. you're never going to always be strong. So it's helpful mm-hmm. to have someone else who'll,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
Or when you're doling out a consequence. How is that related?
Right. Yeah, to be a check and balance, mm-hmm. to kind of have support with that
mm-hmm.
is so helpful, right? Which is, that's even in the most difficult of circumstances. There have been, I would say, probably 5 couples maybe through these 20 years that have taken the class that are in some kind of separation, divorce situation, which is impressive. It's always mm-hmm. impressive to see them do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's hard.
Yeah. Can we pause for a minute? Because Charlie has to leave. Oh, hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
Hey.
come
say hi, Katie and Brooke.
How's it going?
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Charlie.
So, Brooke, have you met Charlie before?
Well, the last time I met Charlie, he would have been in pickup line, and he used to carry that little...
The binder
thing by the handles, and you would have been in like third or fourth grade. And I remember you saying, I think I'm the third smartest kid. And
yeah, I've heard this story.
Yeah, the fourth smartest in second grade.
Yeah,
he was the fourth smartest at age 7.
But you were in the bigger kid pickup. You weren't still, right?
Maybe because of Grace.
Well, no. Oh, no, I never made it around to the back. But
Oh, yeah.
The middle one, not down by the preschool.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the last time I remember seeing you.
That's quite a while ago.
So, yeah, we're doing this podcast, Char, and she has been the longest, like, case study of this material because she was pregnant with her Charlie 13 years ago when they took this class, and now he's 13 and the twins are 16.
Oh, nice.
She's, yeah, and her husband, Brian, like, they've...
Great. We swear by your mom.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yes, I hope.
Sometimes swear at her.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, Michelle at their house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't Michelle me.
Michelle isms. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Yeah. Good to see you.
Yeah,
I know you need to go, right?
Yeah. I'll be back in an hour.
Okay.
Bye, Charlie. Yeah. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Is that your new shirt?
Yeah, it is.
I like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Touch
yourself, Jimmy. Oh, no. My brother loves Lululemon. I swear he comes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You
want to
get me
the boys are in. George is all
into mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye, bud.
He's cute.
He's so
big. Yeah, well, that's on purpose.
I know. He's
good.
My brother's the same thing, right? He's like, I want to get huge muscles. And we're like, okay, calm down.
Right.
Is he lifting?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, George is lifting, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's that's the only thing that he's really found that he's disciplined about. Like, he was in all kinds of sports. Like, he was in 3 sports, you know, nothing really committed. He tried out a lot of things, and he would just, you know, get every season be in a sport, but it wasn't nothing he was passionate about or that he got into. Well, this whole lifting thing he got passionate about, which bothers me on many levels, but that's what he does. That's what he's into. Okay. I give him my 2 cents. And so, yeah.
What bothers you about it? Like,
well, before it was the pre-workout things. So having those conversations, because they're supplements and they're caffeinated mm. and they're horrid.
Yeah.
So educated.
Some are better, but most are horrible.
Right. That was the first thing of, we got to talk about this. Like, this is not healthy and here's why and that kind of thing. And then, so that was fine. Like, then it was, that was just it. But then it's gotten where it's really big. Like, he has stretch marks under his arms right here even. You know, where it's like, okay, where does this line get drawn of this is
okay? What's the goal?
He just likes it.
Makes him feel good. That's how my brother is. He has, like, stretch marks. And when he started getting stretch marks on his arms, he was like, okay, I think I'm good.
Right, yeah, and that's what he, so I just think it's a, yeah, I don't know. And he, you know, he studies all these bodybuilders and stuff like that. And so I think he has it sort of in a good place. I don't know. I think it's just his thing right now. So I don't know. Not my favorite. I just understand
there
it's
are worse
not my.
He could be doing.
Right. There are worse things he could be doing, and it's not my choice. It's not my body. I just try to educate and inform, and you know what you're doing. And but he has adopted, which I'm relieved about. You know that he's healthy in terms of eating. You know, and it has begun. You know, like cooking for himself, like that. He, because of this whole bodybuilding thing, in terms of learning carbs and lean mass, and you know, I mean, it might be sort of gone awry a little bit in terms of why he's learning it, but he knows a lot about nutrition and that kind of stuff because of this. Mm-hmm. So, it was always relieving to me that he actually got the health message, you know, because in the teenage years, I was always like concerned, did any of this stick? Are they going to make any choices that are healthy, you know, for their own bodies and stuff?
Eat cookies for breakfast, right? As soon as you go to college.
Right, exactly. And it was relieving to me that he would come home from being overnight somewhere and he'd say, take a shower, go to the bathroom, and then make a green drink. He goes, Mom, I'm so glad to come home. Mm. You know, and it was like, oh, so relieving to me in that moment of he gets it. You know, because he's like, after having pizza all night, you know, like, good. Then you're feeling like that's the idea. I want you, then my job is done there. Because you don't know how much they're going to, like, export into their lives, their independent lives, which you're in, you know, now beginning to see some of that. What it's a journey of letting go. We work ourselves out of a job. That's what we're trying to do, work ourselves out of a job, which is heartbreaking. And we have to morph or modify ourselves in each of these stages. Like, they're just going along, developing. And we're like, oh, you know, I have to be physically all over you when you're little. And you let me be affectionate with you. Like, I have to keep you safe. But then now it's, you know, teenagers, okay, I don't want you near me, like, touching me. You know, you never knew when the last time was that your son was going to hold your hand, you know, like that. You never knew when that was, and it happens, like, and we have to keep letting go because that's healthy and that's what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And it just is a journey of that. So it's how many of the seeds that I planted stuck. Mm-hmm. And that's what you don't know until they demonstrate it. Mm-hmm. So, comments, mother of four?
Well, I just thought of how I made the phone relevant. So George sneaks down every morning. Not sneaks down, but like he gets up, gets dressed. He does make his bed every morning and does a decent job. So, I mean, hopefully that's sticking, that someday someone will be really grateful that,
yes,
you know, he makes his bed every day. And not every day, every once in a while. But he'd come down, and then he skips breakfast. He's not a breakfast eater, which, okay, I can't force feed him. But he was also skipping washing his face, brushing his teeth. You know, we go to the dermatologist. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm not paying for the dermatologist and all this stuff if we're not going to use it. Mm-hmm. And if the phone is that alluring, so this is, you know, my relevancy, you know, you may not use that phone until you come in here and have told me, yes, I've brushed my teeth. Yes, I've washed my face. Mm-hmm. Now, he could lie to me, but because I'm not checking it. But so every morning he comes into my room. I've washed my face. I've brushed my teeth. So I'm like, okay, you're good.
So you're the phone.
The
police.
Phone. Well, the phone, like, you know, if it's drawing you away from what you need to be doing. Right. So that's how I've made it relevant.
Good.
It's drawing you away from what you need to do for just general hygiene.
Right.
So until you can do that without, you know,
good
thinking and forgetting, then we can't use the phone because it's too much of a draw.
Right. So managing your responsibilities, whether they're hygiene, whether homework, whether it's chores or jobs at home, any of that, and tie it then to you're not able to manage the phone and those.
Right. So we'll take the phone away.
Right. We'll help you.
Yeah, yeah. Let me help you.
Right. Let me help you. Help yourself. Okay, good.
It's really more, now it's my stuff that gets in the way.
How so?
You know, because I bring my own insecurities. And it's, you know, and the holidays are really hard with this, you know, being together and blah, 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 blah. And it was interesting. Abby said to me, because Maggie tends to mirror my anxiety with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so Abby said to me the other day, she said, you know, Mom, she just wants to feel and do what you're feeling. You know, she doesn't really feel those things. She's just
modeling you
and you know, almost that's her way of protecting you. Mm-hmm. Is I'm going to be angry and mean and probably not very, you know.
Right, she's aligned. She loves her mama, and I'm gonna
At all costs.
Mm.
Although her father hangs the moon,
really,
and he does. But you know, she. And I remember saying that to Brian one time. And he's like, what? And I said, oh, you hang the moon. You know, you make it all. She loves me fiercely, but you make it all happen. And I think he's realizing that. And
what a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
From a teenage daughter to a dad.
She doesn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she does. I mean, she talks about, you know, how great he is and how smart he is. And and sometimes she'll get mad, you know, you're not being very nice to dad. So.
So she's protecting both of you.
So.
Do you think she'll stay near home?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I had someone say to me that they saw her there for a while, and to let her hang on. And that 25, 26, she'll probably be ready to. So I don't know. You know, we're looking at colleges, but my guess is she won't go far from home. We're going to make her go.
Yeah,
that's what's good for her.
Right. You can always come home. It's interesting.
But she's very intuitive.
Yeah, not all kids are what's the word? Are sort of hankering or eager to get away from home. And I kind of believed that everyone was. I kind of had this belief that all kids are. But some aren't.
I wasn't.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're kind of raised in a society that says that if they're not, there's something wrong.
There's nothing wrong.
No. They all do it on their own time.
Yeah. Yeah.
She won't stay around forever.
There's just a, but I just mean sort of, I kind of believed it after teenage years, you know, like that it's such a push-pull that it's kind of, you know, that most people just want to get away. You know, kids want to get away from their parent, like just get out on their own. But I don't think that's the case. You know?
I have one that's probably ready to go far. But the other three I don't see yet.
And I guess getting away too, Brooke, can be down the street. It could be across town. Like that's their version. You know? But it's a different choice, too. I just think it's interesting. It's a different choice that it's made by the child rather than expected by a parent. You know, mm-hmm. because that's, I think that there's that, too. Why kids sometimes don't is it wasn't really embraced or encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's a different choice when it is an option and a child doesn't want that, you know, when they could. They can, you know, they're free to, but they want to stay near. I think it's interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. just meeting our own needs, like everybody's how they do it.
Meet them where they are.
Yep, and it's all good, all okay.
I would say I couldn't have done it without you. I probably could have, mm-hmm. but not very well. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, she knows I'm eternally grateful, mm-hmm. and I think. You know, my husband's grateful. I mean, we all are where we are because we took the class.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I can't, you can't make people do it. And I can just tell people that your life will be different
mm-hmm.
if you do it and trust in it. And maybe not like me, like trust in it right away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely an option. And mm-hmm. I think a good option,
mm-hmm.
but you can't force people
Mm-mm.
to
no.
do it because it feels sometimes it can be kind of the antithesis of how we were raised mm-hmm. or what comes naturally
right
to us
right,
and it's really just about how we communicate. I remember you saying it's really about changing our behaviors. Mm-hmm. The class is called Redirecting Children's Behavior, but if we that's not really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's redirecting parents' behavior. But if you called it that, no one would sign up for that because it's my kids. It's not
right. Yeah,
me
exactly. Yep.
People but once you get in, but you have to come in with it. You know, with the ability to say, I don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, then you're open for those to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm maybe was quasi open to it. Maybe. Enough that I came back looking for it.
Exactly. We were meant to meet.
Mm-hmm.
We were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an honor, truly an honor, to witness all of it and to witness you and Brian through it all. Because it's a stellar example of how it can be in all of it, the realness of it all. And
yeah, it hasn't always been easy.
No, it's not freaking
easy.
And
not just parenting, but life.
Yeah, life. No,
and
it's
has dealt some.
Yes, and yet you're bonded together with the highest good of everybody continuing to be your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been a beautiful journey to witness.
I never said it would be easy. I only said it would be worth it. Peace to you, Mom or Dad. It starts there. You've got this.